Val Dunican and Rafferty's Motor Car and the Pogues and the Dubliners to start the hour with the Irish Rover. 30 minutes past eight. Well, St Patrick's Day celebrations will once again be different this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. A traditional parade in Belfast and Dublin have been cancelled for the second year in a row, with many events across the island again moving online. Our police have warned that anyone breaking COVID-19 regulations in Northern Ireland will face a robust response. But while large gatherings are mostly ruled out, attempts have been made to celebrate in style around the world, particularly in Australia, where a full St Patrick's Day parade will be going ahead. St Patrick lives in the 5th century AD and is understood to have played a major part in converting the Irish to Christianity. St Patrick did exist and some of his writings survive. His value does not really come into historical detail, but from the inspiration of a man who returned to the country where he'd been a child slave in order to bring the message of Christ. He's traditionally associated with the shamrock plant, which he used to explain the Christian doctrine of the Holy Trinity. And according to legend, he spent some time on the Île de l'Errance as well.
Apparently so.
Apparently so.
The snakes as well. Salt. Wasn't he the one to get rid of all the snakes?
He drove the snakes out of Ireland. I think that's more legend than historical fact.
Was he born in Wales or Scotland?
Well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, he wasn't born in Ireland.
The cities in Dublin, the City's St Patrick Festival runs from the 12th to the 17th of March with more than 100 online events around the theme of Awaken Ireland. Organisers have partnered with Irish national broadcaster RTE for the virtual parade, as celebrations will be broadcast around the world to a potential audience of 80 million people. Now, the Queen's extended her best wishes to the people of Ireland for St Patrick's Day 10 years after she visited. In her message to the Irish President Michael D. Higgins, she said, "We share ties of family, friendship and affection, the foundation of our partnership that remains as important today as 10 years ago." It's 8:15.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Hello, hello, it's Dawn Howard.
Hello, hello, it is.
And it's Woofer of the Week time. What have we got?
Today we have an absolute classic dog. We have the poster boy of dogs, a sand-coloured Labrador. Oren is his name. He's neutered, vaccinated, and he's 11 years young. Another sad story, unfortunately. Him and his brother have always lived together, but when their master went abroad recently, he did so without taking his dogs. So if the two dogs, the two brothers, could be adopted together, that would, of course, be wonderful. But the refuge realises that that could be a very tall order. So the priority is to find a really good home for each one of them now. Oren needs daily walks and exercise. He needs a family who are present and available so he can have a balanced routine. That means not being away for more than 4 hours. So ideally someone who works from home. That could be quite a lot of people at the moment. If you'd like to know more about him or maybe even both of the dogs and you live in the Altmaritime or Var, then please email in the first instance. And the address is tania@leschatdumercantour.com. So tania@leschatdumercantour.com.
Is his name spelled U-R-A-N?
U-R-A-N, yes.
Isn't that Uran then?
Uran, yes.
As in Duran, Duran.
Oh, I've walked into that, haven't I?
That's what it's going to be. It's either that or Orange Juice Jones, but I don't think that fits.
Oh, Duran Duran's better. And I just want to say a very happy St Patrick's Day to all the lovely Irish people along the Riviera and across the world, including my mum, who will no doubt be listening.
Ah, top of the morning to you then.
Wonderful.
Thanks, Dawn.
My pleasure.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Riviera Radio.
Well, as well as being St Patrick's Day, it's also the 50th birthday of Stephen Balkin of Balkin Estates. So many happy returns, Stephen. I hope you have a great day today on St Patrick's Day as well.
Yes, happy birthday. It's a double whammy, isn't it?
Double whammy.
and I was ahead of the game and announced it yesterday. So if you
did you? Well, it's a double whammy. Then.
If you got anybody wishing you happy birthday day before, it was my fault. Apologies.
Pop quiz.
Yes. All Irish. Dana is an Irish singer and former politician who served as member of the European Parliament from 1999 to 2004. while still a schoolgirl. She won the 1970 Eurovision Song Contest with All Kinds of Everything. It went on to have a UK number one, paving the way all over Europe for Irish artists. And notably, Gilbert O'Sullivan, who went on to have a hit in 1972 with which song?
Not Get Down.
No.
Claire.
No. Those are his. Well, it's the third
alone
one.
Alone Again or.
Yes, Alone Again, Naturally.
Yes.
Is what you're looking for.
Dana.
Dana, yes.
Not Dana.
Oh, did I say Dana? Sorry, Dana. This rock band formed in Dublin in 1969. Two of the founding members met at school. The group, throughout their career, recorded 12 studio albums. The hero of the lead vocalist and bass guitarist of the group was Jimi Hendrix, and he also provided the theme music for Top of the Pops for 5 years in the early 80s. Yeah. Correct. And finally...
Yellow Pearl.
Yeah, I want you to give me the top biggest-selling Irish acts of all time. Number four. So U2 is at number...
Got to be one, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, OK.
Thin Lizzy?
No.
Really? OK. Boomtown Rats?
No.
Boyzone?
No. Sail Away?
Enya?
Yes.
OK.
Number three?
Van Morrison? Clannad?
No, you were quite close when you said Boyzone.
Ronan Keating?
No.
Westlife?
Correct. And at number four... In My Head.
In My Head?
Well, that's the main... I'm not going to sing it. I've done that before.
Come on, sing.
No.
We want to hear you sing.
No, you certainly
is
do
Is it
not.
One of your favourites?
No. Not really, if I'm brutally honest. It's the Cranberries.
The Cranberries?
Four, yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of the one I do like.
What, by the Cranberries?
Yes.
Is it Ode to My Family?
Might
Is
be.
It Linger? Is it Just My Imagination?
It might be just... I don't know. What's your favourite one? Help me out here. I can't make a decision.
I like Just My Imagination.
Okay, go for it.
At least to use it as the music while you were waiting to be picked up for Crédit Agricole Bank.
Oh, yes.
Imagining all the money you could spend if they lent you some.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bill Gross is on Bloomberg telling everyone to short 10-year treasuries.
To short 10-year treasuries?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know if we need to get into that sort of mode at this point, it has to be said. I mean, all focus, of course, will be on the Fed today, so it's set to be an interesting day in government bond markets. We think the Fed will considerably improve its outlook for the US economy. We've seen real progress on vaccinations in the United States, but also the case count, hospitalizations, death rates have been falling quite dramatically. The Biden administration saying the US population could be vaccinated by the end of May, allowing the economy to reopen and labour markets to recover. Of course, there are some risks around that, particularly when it comes to likes of variants. Since the last forecasts were submitted in December, there have been two large federal aid packages that have been enacted, $2.8 trillion worth, certainly larger than many committee members would have expected. So look for the growth forecast to rise maybe as high as 6.6% for this year. Look for minor improvements in labour market forecasts and a modest rise in inflation expectations, but still below mandated levels. So whether we'll see that huge spike in yields that Mr. Gross is perhaps suggesting remains to be seen, but I think it'll be limited upside from here.
He doesn't look much like the Bond King from here. He looks like he's just got out of bed. Hasn't even brushed his hair.
That's part of the lure, isn't it? The mystique of
he's
Mr.
He's wearing
Gross.
His pyjamas. That's all okay. I know. Of course, he's no longer at PIMCO now, but he's still said he made $10 million on shorting GameStop.
Well, some people have been burnt in that trade, it has to be said as well.
Hasn't he got enough money already?
He's probably doing all right for himself.
Probably.
You're a little bit fixated by this person, aren't you?
Well, I find him quite a fascinating character.
A man crush.
Because he looks quite odd as well, doesn't he? You know, he's kind of one of these mad professor types.
Yeah, that's all right. There's a place for that in the world of finance. We can't all be good looking.
No, you don't want to talk about vaccines, do you?
Well, we can talk a little bit
about
it.
Have you had yours yet?
I won't talk about that.
I'll give it to you if you want.
I've already had it.
I know, just went to stick it as well.
Very feisty this morning. I've had it, Ashley. I had the AstraZeneca one.
Did you?
I'd say that I had a sort of a 12-hour flu as a result of it, but nothing more dramatic than that yet. But it's interesting to see how markets are reacting. European stock markets actually shook off concerns over the speed of the vaccination program yesterday. Equities closed at their highest level in a year. Stock 600 was up 0.9%. Real estate and healthcare very much leading the gains. The energy sector dropped as oil prices retreated for a third straight day. So a positive day despite Germany, France, Italy joining nations that have halted using AstraZeneca's vaccine. The EU warned member states yesterday must use every dose available in order to avoid further lockdowns. And in the last 12 hours or so, there have been signs that particularly the likes of France and Italy may make a U-turn on advice from the regulator that the benefits continue to outweigh the risk. Final assessment, I think, comes from the EMA tomorrow on that one. Question is, has the damage already been done? Will this result in higher rates of hesitancy than you'd expect and infringe upon the vaccination program? You're considerably behind, there's no doubt about that. If you look at the percentage of population inoculated, I think we're at 12% in Europe compared to 40% in the UK.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Europe is lagging, but it does sort of raise questions about sovereignty, doesn't it? Because, you know, if it was a European super state, then everyone would be railroaded into having the vaccines. But because the national health agencies are supreme, they can decide whether they're going to use a particular vaccine or not.
They can indeed, but that will have ramifications for, of course, the process, the speed in which you can achieve herd immunity and the knock-on effects that not being able to unlock the economies will have in terms of growth prospects and employment prospects. So there's a price to pay for that, it certainly has to be said.
Unless something goes wrong with one of them, in which case, because they were rushed through on emergency legislation in the UK, the British government will be left carrying the can for any compensation payments, whereas in Europe, because it was regulated by the European Medicines Agency, it's the pharmaceutical giants will have to pay out.
Again, I'll remind you, my wife works for the European Medicines Agency, so without wishing to get into too much of a conflict of interest in relation to this one, let's stick to the facts that we know rather than debating that.
OK, well, those are the facts as we know them, but I will move on. But the Federal Reserve, big day today. A lot of speculation that so they could tweak zero interest rates, but probably not this time around.
Yeah, I don't think so, to be honest. We've mentioned sort of some of the backdrop already. In terms of rates, I think their forecast is for no hikes through the forecast horizon. That takes you out to 2023. So I think we'll see them reducing fears of an early liftoff. Communication, I think, will be important, but I think we'll see limited reaction to rising yields. Keeping its powder dry, it does have further ammunition to use. They could lengthen the duration of its monthly treasury purchases, for example. Implement another operation twist, which is where they buy long-dated bonds and sell equal amounts of bonds with shorter duration, or if required, introduce yield control measures. So I think the main message from the Federal Reserve today will be positive economic guidance, no early liftoff in policy, not overly concerned by the rise they've seen in yields.
You had any chips recently?
It's been a while, to be honest with you. There's not many around. Samsung has warned it's grappling with the fallout from a serious imbalance in semiconductors globally, becoming the largest tech giant to voice concerns about chip shortages spreading beyond the car industry. Samsung, which is one of the largest makers of chips, actually, and consumer electronics, of course, expects the crunch to pose a problem for its business into the next quarter, may delay the launch of its new Galaxy Note phone. Range of companies from car makers, game console producers and mobile phone device manufacturers have been struggling. The shortage has occurred due to production and supply disruption caused by COVID restrictions and trade sanctions. There's been increased demand. Everyone stuck at home means they've been buying laptops, tablets and games consoles. And of course, it takes time to ramp up production levels. You can't simply start making a lot of chips overnight, particularly in like the Asian manufacturers. So it's going to take a couple of quarters, one would suspect, for this problem to iron out.
Isn't the Chippy and Cobham doing takeaways? I mean, or is there not a Chippy and Cobham? Is it more like the poached salmon emporium or something, isn't it?
Is there a Chippy and Cobham? I don't know if there is. Yeah, there is one. There is one, actually. There is one. There's a Domino's, there's a Chippy, and there's a kebab shop, actually.
Really?
Thinking about it,
yes. I'm sure that caused a hoo-ha locally, didn't it?
There's some new restaurants coming to Cobham, actually. Copper is opening. There's an upmarket. Is there an upmarket TGI brand that's starting? I don't know.
I don't know.
A few things opening. Yes.
I've only driven past Cobham on the way down to the Channel Tunnel, but yes. And Greg's the Bakers. Is there one of those in Cobham? Probably not.
We call it Gregory's. It's a bit more upmarket. Greg's the Baker fast food restaurant reporting its first loss since listing on the stock exchange in 1984 as COVID restrictions hampered footfall. Best known for its sausage rolls, or perhaps more recently its vegan rolls. Have you tried those?
I have, and the vegan steak bake. Very nice, both of them. I'm sure all the rest of it, the pastry and everything, isn't very good for you, but at least, you know, you're doing yourself some good by not eating meat.
Maybe so. Made a full-year loss of £13.7 million in 2020 versus a record profit of £108 million in 2019. Total sales fell 31%. Turns the outlook actually better than expected start to the year they were talking about. They said they've ramped up deliveries through the likes of Just Eat. Wholesale's been strong. Click and collect's been improving. And they plan to open 100 net new stores during the course of this year, adding to its 2,078 that it already operates. I suppose the question when you look at Greg's amongst the others is people going back to work, how many people will go back to the office, and how important is that for them? And competition as well. Lots of signs that the likes of people like Pret a Manger, for example, are moving away from cities and will focus on urban areas as a result of more people working from home. And that would create greater competition for Greggs, who tend to be situated in those areas.
Well, maybe there's a space on the Cobham High Street for Greggs after all.
We'll see.
I don't like their soup, you know, the tomato soup, but the styrofoam cup. Yeah, not very nice.
I do like Heinz tomato soup.
Yes, I do, yes.
That is still a classic, isn't it?
But it ain't Greggs.
Do you put Tabasco in it?
No, certainly not.
Me neither. My friend does.
See, I like hot food, but I don't see the points of adulterating perfectly good flavours like Heinz tomato soup with Tabasco. It takes the flavour away, doesn't it?
I think so. Stick with a classic.
It's like somebody at home. I made a chilli last night and they insisted on adding extra hot sauce to it, even though I put a teaspoon of chilli powder in it.
Well, I like the hot, jalapenos.
It's enough to blow my head off anyway.
Chicken farl. That's the way to go. Lovely.
Falafels.
We do have some of that actually at lunchtime. Mrs. Potts makes a salad with that.
Very nice.
Some bread, some hummus. Very nice.
Right, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.39 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.19. Going to get €1.16.5 for your British pound this morning.
There you go, from Bill Gross to falafels.
Have a good day,
just
sir.
Just about covered it all again. Talk to you tomorrow. Hang Potts from Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyce has the top stories across the Riviera.
The French government is this morning holding a defence council to discuss the health situation in the Hauts-de-France, Île-de-France and the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur, three of the currently worst-hit regions due to COVID. Speaking on BFM TV on Tuesday evening, French Prime Minister Jean Castex said that following the suspension of the AstraZeneca vaccination in France, as well as several other European countries, he's prepared to receive the vaccination as soon as the green light is given in order to reassure the French. The European Medicines Agency has been examining the possible link to blood clots in patients who have received the vaccine. At this stage, the EMA says that there is no indication that this is the case and will be giving its final conclusion tomorrow. The Prime Minister went on to say that the enemy is not the French government, which is doing everything possible, but the enemy is the virus. He added that there was also a serious flaw in the distribution of the vaccines, with laboratories not able to meet the demand agreed. And Castex assured that those who have received a first dose of the AstraZeneca vaccine are not in danger. For several weeks, the rate of injections of doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine in France had sharply accelerated to become the majority. The suspension of the vaccine has therefore nearly completely halted the vaccination campaign in France. A recent study has shown that 81% of French consider the French government has badly managed the distribution of the vaccine in France, and 61% are against another lockdown similar to that of November and December of last year. The latest COVID figures nationally for France show that 29,975 new COVID cases have been identified in the last 24 hours. 4,329 people are currently in intensive care, and in the last 24 hours, 320 deaths have been declared. The green light for COVID self-testing kits has been given by France's High Health Authority. Following the announcement, the president of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, Renaud Muselier, confirmed that 150,000 kits have been ordered for the region. The tests can be used by people over the age of 15, giving results in 20 to 30 minutes. The result is visualised as for a pregnancy test. Meanwhile, the president of the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region has also said that the weekend lockdown could be extended by the government. Speaking on France Bleu Azur, he said that he believed the government could soon extend the measure to the whole of the region, with the region soon being in lockdown at weekends and maybe even during the week. Figures here in Monaco have shown that 14 new cases of COVID have been identified in the principality, bringing the total number of residents affected to 2,135. 44 people are currently hospitalised and 84 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. In other news, an 11-year-old sixth grade student at a high school in Vitry-sur-Seine in the Val-de-Marne has committed suicide a few hours after being summoned by his school for an act of harassment on another pupil. The suicide comes just a week after a third-year student, a 14-year-old Alicia, a victim of school bullying, was found drowned in La Seine in Argenteuil after being violently beaten by two school friends. France's Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin has said in an interview that French authorities are regaining ground in the fight against drug trafficking. After 9 months as Interior Minister, Darmanin takes stock of his role, saying that despite lockdowns due to the health crisis, 2020 was marked by some very important drug seizures. Figures show that the settlement of accounts related to drug trafficking in France left 60 dead and 250 injured last year. The minister said that France has dismantled 450 dealing points, especially in the Paris region, Lille, Marseille and Lyon. In detail, 96 tonnes of cannabis, 13 tonnes of cocaine, 1.1 tonnes of heroin and 1.2 million ecstasy tablets have been seized in 2020. 2020 also saw drug networks adapting to new ways of distribution via mail and orders on the dark web due to travel restrictions. In local news, the organisers of the Cannes Film Festival have announced that director Spike Lee will be the president of the jury at this year's festival, which is taking place from the 6th to the 17th of July. The official selection and the composition of the jury are expected to be unveiled in early June. Finally, some in the city of Grasse may be wondering what the new flag represents, which has been displayed from local council buildings. Put up on Monday, the flag, a circle on a white background divided into five colours, is the flag of La Francophonie, created in 1987 in Quebec. Displayed during the French Language Week to mark the occasion, other festivities are planned in the city for later this year.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, there were two ties in the European Champions League last night, and Manchester City and Real Madrid are both through to the quarterfinals. Here's more from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. Manchester City are through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League after a comfortable 2-0 victory over Bundesliga side Borussia Mönchengladbach at Budapest's Puskas Arena, sealing a 4-0 aggregate win. Pat Nevin co-commentated on the game for the BBC.
If you look back at the one recent blemish on the record, and it's Manchester United, and it's losing an early goal. So he was not having that at all tonight. He was saying, get out there, get around this team early, dominate the game and if possible get the early goal, which we were talking about before the game. They managed to do that and got a second one as well. It kept it going all the way up to half-time, but after that it was about game management. And the very, very best teams can have a level of game management. And it's an easy thing to say, but very few teams can control it like that and decide what the tempo will be and change the tempo to what suits them. And they did that tonight.
It's Chelsea's turn on Wednesday. Thomas Tuchel's side take on La Liga leaders Atletico Madrid at Stamford Bridge in their round of 16 second leg. Tuchel says that winning trophies is a must at a club like Chelsea, but sometimes winning silverware is no guarantee of staying in a job at a top club.
You're never safe, never totally safe as a coach. This is a given. We won some silverware in France and still it came to an end. So... I cannot lose my head about this. I feel very happy. I can just repeat the status for me and myself. I feel very happy and I'm very grateful to be part of this club.
The Everton goalkeeper Jordan Pickford will miss England's three World Cup qualifiers this month after sustaining an abdominal muscle injury. Pickford was forced off just before half-time in Saturday's Premier League defeat against Burnley. Everton say he'll miss their FA Cup quarter-final against Manchester City on Saturday, as well as England's matches against San Marino, Albania and Poland. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Thomas Tuchel, the happy
Tuchel,
one.
Tuchel,
Tuchel. Tuchel,
Tuchel. How are you feeling about this evening then?
Okay. The only thing is, although that Tuchel is unbeaten since he took over at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea have only scored 13 goals in the 12 games he's been in charge for. So they're not firing up front really, but their defence is certainly tightened up. Now, the other match tonight is Bayern Munich against Lazio, and Bayern lead 4-1 from the first leg. In the English Championship last night, Cardiff and Stoke drew 0-0. Derby and Brentford drew 2-2. Luton beat Coventry 2-0. Middlesbrough beat Preston 2-0. Watford were 4-1 winners at Rotherham. And Bournemouth beat Swansea 3-0. The results mean that Watford's push for automatic promotion has been boosted. Be cheering in the Mackley household this morning. While Swansea lost ground, and Bournemouth and Middlesbrough come back into the reckoning for a playoff place. Cricket. England have thrashed India by 8 wickets in the third T20 international in Ahmedabad to take a 2-1 lead in the 5-match series. India batted first and was restricted to 156 for 6 from their 20 overs before some brutal hitting from Joss Butler, who made 83 not out, saw England get to their targets in 18.2 overs and a total of 158 for 2. Rugby Union, the Ireland and Munster back rose CJ Stander is to retire from all forms of the game at the end of the season. The 31-year-old South African-born player has won 50 caps for Ireland and played 150 times for Munster. He's also represented the British and Irish Lions. He said he knew it was time to hang up his boots. And in racing, Rachel Blackmore's made history by becoming the first female jockey to win the champion hurdle at Cheltenham. The Irish rider guided the 11-10 favourite Honeysuckle home on the first day of the festival, which is being held behind closed doors. Last year's runner-up Sharjah was second again, with the 2020 winner Efante third. Now the feature race today is the Queen Mother Champion Chase over a mile and 7 furlongs. Chacun Pour Soi is the 4-5 odds-on favourites, with Nubra Negra at 13-2 and Politologue and Put the Kettle On at 8. Now the race is on at 4:05 French time this afternoon.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almeria and the Var. The general situation is a vast anticyclone, 1,040 millibars over Spain and France, and a depression, 1,030 millibars over Sardinia. Winds are easterly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showers, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northeasterly, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,017 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, showers, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Sunshine with occasional showers this afternoon. Light to moderate southeasterly winds. Top temperature 16 degrees. Overnight lows 8 or 9 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday, sunshine and showers. Highs of 12 to 15 degrees. Hi to Ulf, by the way. Thanks for the wine, Ulf.
Yes, thank you very much, Ulf.
He really doesn't have to bring wine in every time he comes. It started off as a joke, you know, the first time he ever came and said, bring some wine. And ever since then, he's bought a case of wine in every time he comes.
Very generous. Very nice.
Yes, thank you, Ulf. Finally?
A plain naan or a cheese naan?
Cheese.
Naan, as in a Glasgow curry house, is trailing a drone delivery service for takeaway food with 50 miles per hour deliveries right to your door. The owner said that the eco-friendly, fast-moving delivery method will be the quickest way to get orders to hungry customers and could keep cars off the road too. It's still in its testing stages and safety, of course, is of utmost importance, but they hope to see the drone delivering very soon. The drones can travel at speeds of up to 50 miles per hour and stay in the air for 30 minutes at a time. They can carry up to 1 kilo at a time too. Previously, they did have a bit of an issue because the bag that they were attaching to the drone was a little too heavy,
okay,
causing it to drop.
So they don't deliver to JLP then?
Not yet.
No. 50-mile limit on the... But they could have a lot of relay stations along the way, couldn't they?
They could do. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Warren. I like this one, actually.
Warren who?
Warren, any green today? Don't you like it? It was my St. Patrick's joke. You wait, I've got 1 an hour.
Very funny.